This is the voice of contract management presented by the law firm of Kroll & Mooring, exclusively for NCMA. Stay up to date on all things contract management 5 minutes at a time. Our team at Kroll & Mooring presents these podcasts to keep you up to speed on a bi-monthly basis. We will cover everything from regulatory updates to crucial changes that affect government contracting.
We are your co-hosts for this edition, Peter Ayer and Yuan Zhou. We're continuing to track a wide variety of activities relating to the new administration, including executive orders, directives, and how companies are responding to shifting requirements and expectations. And obviously, we're closely watching the government shutdown and what that means for contractors. And we've got four updates for you today. And the first one is going to come from Yuan, and it does relate to the shutdown and some of the things we're seeing out of the government. So Yuan, over to you.
Thanks so much, Peter. With the government entering its 34th day of shutdown, companies are increasingly receiving contracts with a class deviation to DFARS 252.232-7998, titled Obligations in Advance of Fiscal Year 2026. That deviation was issued on October 1st by the DoD Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment. And it provides that the DoD, and I quote, has the authority to enter into a contractual action and obligate the government in advance of appropriations, end quote, for contracts, modifications, task orders, options, delivery orders for services and supplies supporting accepted activities, given that appropriated funds are not currently available. The clause also states that the DoD will remit payment and applicable Prompt Payment Act interest when appropriated funding becomes available. Now, note that this deviation does not apply to contract actions that use existing appropriations from prior year funds. In addition, COs must ensure that a contract action using the deviation clause is bilateral and reflects the mutual agreement of the parties. The deviation is currently effective immediately until it's rescinded. Peter, back to you.
Second update relates to the so-called 50% affiliates rule. And there has been a really important development that we want to tell you about. So let me set the scene. By way of background, on September 29th of 2025, the Department of Commerce Bureau of Industry and Security issued an interim final rule expanding the entities that qualify for entity list or military end user entities and subjecting them to heightened export control restrictions under the EAR, the Export Administration Regulations. Previously, U.S. export restrictions for entities on the entity list, MEU list, or specially designated nationals and block persons list were not applicable to entities that in the aggregate were owned 50% or more by one or more of the entities on the list. Accordingly, BIS explained that this new rule will functionally close loopholes that previously allowed restricted parties to operate through legally distinct foreign affiliates and subsidiaries. So under that affiliates rule, any non-US entity owned either directly or indirectly, individually or in the aggregate, 50% or more by any of the parties on the entity list, the MEU list, or the SDN list subject to export controls would now automatically be subject to identical license requirements and restrictions as the listed owners, regardless of locations. So that's the background. And the interim rule was effective upon publication on September 29th of 2025. Here's the development. During President Trump's meeting with the President of China and South Korea last week, the U.S. announced that it will suspend for 1 year that 50% rule. And then over the weekend, the White House issued a summary of the deal with China that confirmed the 1 year suspension effective November 10th of 2025. This is a very important development. Companies have really been thinking hard about how to implement this rule. It also has an effect on some of the other rules that incorporate by reference some of these entity lists, MEU lists, and things like that. So definitely an important development and something that will certainly be of interest to a lot of companies in this space. Yuan, back to you for an update on the FAR overhaul.
Great. Thanks, Peter. For our next item, we have a GSA update on the FAR overhaul. Now, the FAR Council has overhauled tax for most parts of the FAR, and it announced the incorporation of all changes to FAR Part 52 on October 28th, containing solicitation provisions and contract clauses as part of the model deviations. Notably, with the incorporation of all changes in FAR Part 52, agencies are not required to issue a separate agency deviation for FAR Part 52. However, agencies should provide guidance on the effective date for the changed solicitation provisions and contract clauses. There's also a useful new GSA RFO Part 52 matrix tool that summarizes all provisions and clause changes per the effective dates of the GSA issued deviations. Peter?
For our last update, we want to talk a little bit about the DBE program, the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, that's administered by Department of Transportation. There have been a lot of changes, and we want to tell you about some of the recent developments. On October 3rd, DOT issued an interim final rule instituting a significant change to the DBE program. Historically, DBEs are small businesses that are at least 51% owned and controlled by one or more socially and economically disadvantaged individuals, with social disadvantage presumed for certain groups, including women and certain minorities. The interim final rule comes in response to a series of recent federal court decisions challenging federal programs, including the DBE program, that use presumptions bearing on disadvantage. Notably, on September 23rd of 2024, the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Kentucky determined that the DBE program's use of race and sex-based presumptions likely do not comply with the Constitution's promise of equal protection under law. That's the direct quote from the decision. Under the interim final rule, social disadvantage is no longer presumed. Now, a socially and economically disadvantaged individual is one, and here's the quote, who a certifier finds to be socially and economically disadvantaged on a case-by-case basis. This determination must not be based in whole or in part on race or sex, close quote. All applicants must now demonstrate their disadvantaged status on an individualized basis, which requires submission of a personal narrative and personal net worth statement to demonstrate individualized evidence of social disadvantage. Under the new rule, all DBE certified business owners must also submit a narrative and will be reevaluated for disadvantaged status. Those who don't demonstrate compelling evidence for social or economic disadvantage will then be decertified. Until a unified certification program completes the evaluation of the personal narratives recipients, that is any entity that receives DOT financial assistance, covered by that unified certification program may not set any contract goals or count any DBE participation toward DBE goals. And there are to be no penalties on recipients for failure to meet goals until completion of this transition. But the interim final rule imposes new requirements on subsequent establishment of goals. While agencies are generally required to provide the public with notice of proposed rulemaking and an opportunity to comment prior to publication of the final rule, DOT found that an exception applied because continuing to enforce requirements it found to be unconstitutional would be contrary to the public interest. Therefore, the requirements implemented by the final rule became effective on October 3rd of 2025, and then DOT is accepting comments which have to be received on or before November 3rd of 2025. So a lot that we're watching on the DBE program and other items as well.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening to the Voice of Contract Management, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring exclusively for NCMA. Stay tuned for our next episode as we continue to discuss all things government contracting. In the meantime, explore your learning opportunities at www.ncmahq.org/coursecatalog.